Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 76, OPA 76. Good gravy. I'm already fucking up, Ken.
What show are we on again?
It is Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA 76.
Hey, this is the year we were born in, I guess, 1976. Not to age ourselves, or date ourselves, even.
Yeah, that is exactly what that does.
Yes. I guess I can't avoid doing that if I'm going to just come out and say that's the year we were born in.
Yeah, it's hard to backtrack at this juncture.
But 76, also the number of trombones in the big parade. I don't know if there's anyone who were fans of the musical The Music Man, but that was the famous closing number from that one.
Oh, not familiar with that at all.
That's fine. I don't think any worse of you at all, Kevin.
That's good.
Yes. But it's a good number, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it is a good number. It's still keeping us just a hair ahead of Jeremy and Shahid with We Watch Stuff, which is on episode 73.
Oh, I would have thought they would have passed us by now.
No, they still... Shahid's schedule throws things off.
Gotcha.
He works third shift or like second and a half shift or something like that sometimes. So that impairs their ability to record shows for a...
To hook up.
Yeah, for a time being.
And they have to watch like a whole movie at some point? Is that what they're doing?
Well, it's movies or television shows. It can be
stuff.
One or the other.
Yes. Yeah, that makes stuff. Sense. That's truth in advertising.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's so much what's a rental or anything like that. What's on HBO? It's either in the theater or, I mean, there is a lot of good TV on, and a lot of it's comic book related. Because they did Luke Cage this week.
Okay, yeah, I started watching that. I don't think this is anything about the quality of the show. I was just really tired and fell asleep. So. I think under different circumstances, maybe it would have been different. So,
yeah, I do not have a Netflix account. I know that is like heresy, I think, at this juncture in human existence.
I think it's possible you could probably get onto mine in there somehow, maybe.
Yeah, for some reason, yeah, we can talk about that later.
Just kidding, Netflix. / NSA, whoever's listening.
Yeah, nobody in that category is listening at all.
They're listening all the time to everything. And, you know, speaking of truth in advertising, Kevin, I like to bring some truth in advertising to our show sometimes. I mean, we're called OPA. We might as well have things in here about... Ohio and or Pennsylvania at some times, right?
Yeah, and we definitely have at least two of the topics are directly tied to both states. Well, one per state.
Yeah, I think you could say that. So recently, I think while we were out, Kevin, Pittsburgh, well, Uber, the driving company in Pittsburgh, decided that they wanted to try to have driverless cars on the streets of Pittsburgh. Quote unquote driverless cars.
Right. That is the one thing that I guess never made me worry too much. Like, they've said from the jump that they're going to have someone in the car to override the controls if something went weird.
Correct.
Which makes sense. I mean, all of these, they're not the only one with the driverless, car. Google is developing, right. Microsoft is, a couple other, Tesla.
Now, I think what's different, though, about Uber is that they're the first to actually have, the public, involved in this,
endeavor
in driving or riding in a self-driving car, quote unquote.
Right. And I think that's a good reason to have, you know, someone who can override any problems. They also did note that, a couple of things, the reason they're doing it in Pittsburgh is because of a loophole in Pennsylvania law.
Well, yes. I suppose the founding fathers were a little short-sighted when it came to driverless cars. So
yeah, why did they see that coming?
I don't know. They were sleeping in 1776, I might say. just calling that back for no reason. They did not pass any laws regarding self-driving vehicles as of yet. So they can basically do whatever they want, it sounds like. Now, that makes me wonder, though. I guess the person behind the wheel would be responsible personally if there's an accident, or, you know, if he was a driver for the company, I guess the company would be responsible.
Yeah, that was one thing that they did say in the article, but they didn't really go too in-depth with it. Was that they were unsure who exactly would be liable, even though they have insurance.
Yeah, for up to $5 million, I guess. So that should cover most of your accidents, I would say.
Yeah, and it's only four cars for the time. Is it four or six cars for the time being?
Yeah, it was single digits for sure.
Right. So it's between four and six. And they are hoping to add some SUVs to the arsenal later. And it's only because they were talking about it. It's still a fairly large area because I think it's like a 20-mile radius that they're doing just in downtown Pittsburgh. They've kind of limited the scope of where it's driving. I mean, it doesn't drive everywhere in Pittsburgh.
Yes. It's a small area of downtown that they're driving in. So, like, they've had a chance to map that out pretty in pretty good detail to be able to kind of feed that maps into the computers on the cars so that they're able to kind of get a good model of what the roads are like. Since they've been doing this for a little while, I guess maybe they haven't done as great a job as you would have hoped because some shit's come to light. It seems like they are, there's at least one incident where a car was driving the wrong way down a one-way street.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting that the police have not been involved with any of the incidents.
Now, I will say that, okay, I'll own up to it. At one point in my life, I did find myself driving the wrong way down a one-way street by accident.
Yeah, I will admit to having driven the wrong way down a one-way street myself at some juncture. Yes. I think maybe more than once. Well, not maybe. Definitely more than once.
Yes.
Like, not a lot of times, but it's right. Definitely happened more than once.
Yeah, it's something that I could see happening innocently, you know?
Right.
But it does make you wonder. The computer is not supposed to make a mistake like that, I guess. And or is the driver making the mistake, I guess, since they can also take over or should take over if the computer is going the wrong way down a one-way street.
Yeah, because that was the one thing that was working for and against the car at that point. Because they limited the scope of where they're driving, it does make more sense that it should already know that that would be the wrong way.
Right. I would.
So.
Well, but, not just imagine, they actually had a PDF link to that article, which I believe we'll have in our write up that you can visit. But it's how to, or how the U.S. Department of Transportation classifies the different levels of self driving car you can have. I think it's 1 through 6. This one comes in at a 4.
Oh, yeah, 6 is the best.
Yes, so this is not all the way like self-driving, but it's supposed to, part of having a self-driving car, as spelled out in the document, was it needs to be able to recognize wrong way, you know, like no U-turn, you know, basic traffic signs, so.
Right.
That seems like a kind of a big uh-oh. Although sometimes I feel like the streets are not all that well marked, you know?
Well, that's one of those things that it would actually, if you're not used to driving in Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's the other thing that we probably glossed over a little bit. is that, you know, for the folks in the area of OPA, you may be familiar that Pittsburgh is a difficult city to get around in, and just because of the geography.
Yeah, because there are two descriptions that the one was a physical description, and they said that it's basically a peninsula surrounded by mountains, which is very accurate geographically. And the one person said that basically Pittsburgh is the double black diamond of the skiing slopes.
If it was in terms of driving.
Yes. Yeah, in terms of driving. Like, it's just one of the hardest places to drive. And even for those of us used to driving in Pittsburgh, it is a little bit of a chore. Like, because it's definitely different than, like, I've been out in Colorado before, and I haven't driven in Colorado itself, but, like, I had my brother drive me around and my sister-in-law drive me around. And that's kind of a different danger on a mountain. Yeah. A, they're higher, so there's that at least. But, you know, there's not a city, you know, even like Denver is probably flatter than Pittsburgh is, like in terms of terrain.
Well, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that.
There's changes in elevations, but it's not set up like Pittsburgh, kind of, you know, hilly and everything.
Right.
You know, because you can kind of, you can go up really, like I said, it's a larger mountain, but you're kind of going up in a continuous path, and then you reach, like, you know, some type of plateau or something, and then that's where things are kind of spread out.
Well, the thing I was looking for was the other thing about Pittsburgh is that there is a ton of bridges.
yes, the most in the world. If you have not watched an NFL football game and not watched one in Pittsburgh, they do always note that it's the most bridges in the world, more than Venice, in fact.
446, I believe, was the number.
Correct.
Which is pretty crazy, if you any way you slice it.
Yeah, even if you're not the most, that is still a shit ton of bridges.
Because it's like you say, there's three rivers, as some of the old folks will remember.
The confluence, Ken.
Yeah,
You can't get through an NFL game, a National Football League game, I should say.
Right. Get it. Show the proper respect.
Especially a primetime matchup, without mentioning the confluence of the three rivers.
Right. I don't know. Did they still get to say that as much? I feel like maybe they've.
Oh yeah.
Toned down.
It definitely pops up still.
Still. All right.
Not as big as John Madden. John Madden always loved to get the telestrator out and just circle.
Exactly where the confluence happened?
Yeah, exactly where the confluence happened. I don't feel like that happens anymore, but I still feel like Al Michaels on Sunday Night Football at least mentions it every broadcast.
Yes, so that is where the Ohio River is born, if you will. But it's also a land where there's a lot, you know, I think there's a lot of people living kind of all around the main peninsula there, what they call the Golden Triangle, is that?
Oh, yes.
So, like, on either side of the river, you know, there's people, there's businesses, so, like, you need to be able to get back and forth, hence 446 bridges.
Oh, right.
But the bridges can also, I've read, be difficult for a driverless car because there's no landmarks as far as, like, where the road ends. Like, it just is kind of like a blank space, basically.
Oh, right.
So that can be tricky. So I think they were really going for, like, a double black diamond kind of, I guess, like, yeah. learn to swim by getting thrown in the deep end sort of, baptism by fire situation.
Yeah, because it was something that I guess I didn't really know about the loophole until reading about this article. Like, I had seen some reports, and even I recall on Twitter seeing a couple of the Steelers players taking one of the driverless Uber cars.
Oh, that's nice.
Which, you know, isn't surprising. They probably want the advertising as much, you know, like that's kind of a mutual advertisement kind of a thing.
Yeah, and they get to go on a driverless car, which was probably fun for them, I imagine.
Right. So, like, I had seen stuff like that, but I guess I hadn't really read any of the accounts or why they chose Pittsburgh. And, I mean, I guess they still didn't explain it, because if there's a loophole in the law in Pennsylvania, you could just as easily pick Philadelphia. And not that I've been to Philadelphia, but the terrain is not going to be as treacherous as Pittsburgh.
And I think that...
Plain and simple.
I have a feeling, like, there's other states that don't have laws on the books about self-driving cars. Maybe even Ohio.
Right.
Who knows now? Because I guess they are going to try to have... they are planning on having self-driving cars here. I think by the end of 2017? I think that's the last I heard there.
Oh.
Which seems like a long way off. Uber does definitely seem to have kind of stepped up into it here without as much kind of prep time. It seems like they announced that they were going to do it, and then they basically just did it.
Oh, yeah. Because the other ones I felt like that I had also... Like, even the Google car to me... was the first one that I really saw getting a lot of publicity.
Yes.
And the fact that they hadn't rolled that out, like, is pretty weird, because Uber's like, oh, yeah, we're coming out with one. And they're like, all of a sudden I hear that it's in Pittsburgh. I'm like, holy shit. Like, that was quick. And, yeah, it was quick. And I guess to kind of go back to the wrong turn situation, I guess I... do have some expectation of failure, which,
because a normal person would not be perfect driving a car at all times, as we've discussed with ourselves. You know, admittedly, we've not at all times been perfect drivers, and I imagine that most of you out there listening right now will, if you are fair with yourself and honest, think of times that you made mistakes when you're driving. So,
well, I did get a kick out of there was another article that we'll have a link to also, where it was just a guy's account of his experience in the car, and he made mention that there was a moment where the car was doing exactly the speed limit, which was 25. And the humans behind them were not happy.
Yeah, I can imagine that happening.
Yeah, there are probably places where, as a human driver, you would not obey the speed limit. Because maybe you know that there aren't going to be cops there. It's easy to speed through there. I don't know.
Well, I think the people were most upset when the car didn't turn right on red when there was no cars.
In front of it.
Waiting for the green light to turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
And I know that,
that's being extra safe, I guess, but it technically is within the bounds of the law, I suppose, but, still, I think it's pretty annoying for another driver.
Yeah, but that to me, though, is a situation where I'd at least at first... with, you know, how early they are in the development of this, I'd rather have them err on the side of caution than to try and have it learn human situations right away. Like, that to me is something that I think it might be a better learned behavior later on.
Okay. So, don't try to learn that up front.
I mean, it seems like there's a lot of stuff that it's packing in already. Again, yeah. I guess I expect some level of development to go into this thing. So, again, play it cautious now and then kind of move along as things go.
I guess
you do need to still judge, like, you need to judge if how fast a car is coming, how close it is. Like, that's a lot of information to kind of take in on a right turn.
I believe that they were and they're using some kind of a radar/camera system, I believe. to be able to tell where cars are around them. One of the things that I thought was interesting is that it sounded like they had programmed the cars to drive more towards the curb side of the road.
Right.
Because they thought that that was safer to avoid trucks turning or something like that.
Yes, that was the case.
But I think that would make me nervous about maybe hitting somebody opening their car door, you know, or stepping out into the street. So, I mean, I guess that's the kind of choices that you have to make when you're designing a, you know, artifact or a self-driving car, maybe. I mean...
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So, you know, it's interesting that I mentioned that because there actually already exists a simulation where you can make those kind of decisions in terms of...
kind of interesting that... that they actually mentioned this situation in one of the articles. It's, because you had put it up as a separate article in and of itself.
And it ends up tying in beautifully to this whole Uber cars in Pittsburgh thing.
Well, and it's one of those situations that me, I'm like, okay. Now, it's called the trolley situation. And
the trolley problem, maybe?
Or the trolley problem.
Yeah.
Where you basically are left with three courses of action. Kill yourself.
Well,
you're in a trolley. You've lost all control of it. Which, and this is what I hate. How many times does a car, like, that has a driver, how many times have you read in the news about a car losing control of itself and having to come into this trolley problem?
Probably not. I mean, I don't know. Cars crash all the time, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
It's maybe not necessarily news. But they may not highlight in every case, like, and we can only imagine on the...
But,
apparently the driver answered his own personal trolley problem this day by crashing into concrete.
But wouldn't you think that if a car hit a passenger, hit someone walking, that it would be reported?
I don't know. I mean, I guess so, but I don't know. It wouldn't be,
That, to me, is way different than an auto accident. If it's between two cars, I don't expect to hear about that. There are some gigantic wrecks that I see that I know don't get covered on the news. Like, if it's in the paper or something, or some police blotter somewhere.
So you mean like a local occurrence of someone getting hit by a car? Would that be on, like, the nightly news? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
What about, like, if it happened in Oregon or something? Like, I guess I'm saying, like, this happens a lot. It's just not necessarily...
Oh, cars hitting people happens a lot?
I bet you, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong. I could be way off base here. And I could be way overrepresenting the amount of time that people are hit by cars, but I'm imagining it happens quite a bit.
Well, yeah, I'm going to look it up here, okay. Just because, I mean, that is just entirely too searchable not to...
That's fine. We'll get some kind of hard stats for you people here in a minute, but I'm just going to pick up where Kevin left off here and talk about the trolley problem.
Yeah, I barely got started, honestly.
So, in this situation, I think the original problem is that you could... Like, you're in a trolley, the brake's not working, but you could, like, push one person overboard and, like, clog the wheels or something to, like, stop it from crashing and, like, saving, like, five other people's lives. Basically, that's kind of the idea in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So it's like, you could, by your action, cause someone to die, maybe saving more people, you know, would you do that? And it's kind of a weird psychological test in a way, because the way your brain is wired is, it's kind of like anti-killing people in general, you know, like,
right.
So you're not going to want to, you know, necessarily, although who knows, this may bear on another topic that could be coming up later. But in general, I think that people don't want to kill, you know, random strangers on the street. I don't know.
Well,
am I stating this? Maybe I'm going too far on this one, too. I don't know if we can find statistics on this one. Kevin may have trouble Googling the answer here.
Yeah, I will have a problem finding that answer. The number that I'm seeing is in 2014, 4,884 people were killed in pedestrian motor vehicle accidents.
So would you say that's more than what you thought, or less? And 65,000 reported injuries.
Well, yeah. They said it was 12. Like, when I think it's 12 people per day, I'm like, oh, man, that's kind of a lot. When I hear 4,800, I'm like, but then I go, there's 350 million people in this country.
Well, sure, but if you're, like, one of those 4,800 people, that it doesn't really matter how many other people there are in the country.
Yeah, life sucks for you, or life doesn't That's suck for anymore you. For you. It's over, Johnny.
Yeah, maybe it sucks for other people that know you. So that's always a consideration, I guess. But so it would be nearly one injury every 8 minutes. So I'm guessing, to me, that's a lot of collisions between people and cars. So I'm going to say I was right on that one, sucka.
Yeah, I'd like to know if you're more likely to get hit by lightning or not.
Huh.
Because those are still low.
If there were that many people, if there were 65,000 people hit by lightning every year in this country, I'd be surprised. Wow, I think this is something we can also look at. But, so yeah, I think that in general people are uncomfortable with the idea of the trolley problem and, like, trying to choose, you know, whose life to save in this situation. How do you make that kind of call? Like, it just doesn't feel comfortable. But, as I kind of hinted at, if you're making a self-driving car, you may, you know, want to program this stuff in there so that if that situation pops up, I guess the other difference is that the reason we may not be seeing this covered is explicitly in terms of the trolley problem when we're hearing about events where people are getting hit by cars.
And I guess that's the other thing about the trolley problem is that it is a larger group of people. Like, I guess I'm assuming now that with the traffic deaths, more of them are kind of a singular person.
Oh, okay.
And they're not like, I feel like, you know, when, like, five people get hit at once, that becomes, like, a national news story.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the thing is, maybe that's what I'm thinking of more from a news story.
I guess it wouldn't be, like, an everyday thing, or maybe, like, I don't know, like a boat crash, or, yeah, something that's a little unusual, I'll grant you. But I could see some version of this problem actually coming up at some point.
Yeah, I guess it seems a little more likely than I thought. And only 33 people were killed by lightning from 2004 to 2013.
But does it say, like...
So that your odds of getting hit by lightning or being killed by lightning are much lower, considering that it's 4,884 per year, basically. Because that was the other strange thing with at least the statistics that we had pulled up, was that it was 4,900 in one deaths in 2001. So, like, the number hasn't varied much.
No, it's stuck right around the same area there, which you would think there'd be more cars on the road, so...
Yeah, it's almost like, well, in some ways things have gotten better, but still it sucks for those 4,800 people.
Yeah, it's still not great. Yeah. you might
need to... still not great, still much harder for something lightning related for you to happen.
Yes. But it does kind of, I guess, explain some of the excitement behind self-driving cars, the idea being that they would be able to do a better job than humans at driving, and probably it would be expected to reduce that number down from 4,800. Although you never know, I suppose, as we've seen, there's still problems with the technology at this point.
Yeah, I guess I'd be hard pressed to think that at some point I wouldn't want some type of fail-safe human in there.
Like, so you wouldn't feel comfortable if there was like no steering wheel at all in the car?
I don't know about a steering wheel. I feel like it could learn that more. Like just like when you're in driver's ed. And the shotgun has a brake.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you would want to always have a brake to be able to shut things down if need be?
Yeah. That concerns me more. Like, I feel like if you see a collision coming, you can at least brace or not be hitting them as high a rate as you might have.
Yes, and I guess that would take the trolley problem out of your hands in that situation, because you could only brake, which is
basically... But I think that's part of the problem though with the trolley situation is that the brakes aren't working.
Yes, that's true.
And I guess that's another part about maybe the news story. I feel like I don't, and maybe it's just because they don't get reported, that I don't hear too many the car lost control. Like, I know that people lose control of the car, but I don't feel like there's too many times where the car is just to blame for the situation.
Well, this is sort of a new, world we're in right now, where cars are beginning to be responsible. I mean, we haven't, outside of David Hasselhoff in Knight Rider, there hasn't been a lot of cars who could be responsible for the accidents that they're in. I don't think.
But aren't they talking about a real trolley, though? Or why else would they call it a trolley problem?
Oh, well, yeah.
They're like talking in the old-timey trolleys, yes. Like that my in grandfather would have taken in Pittsburgh, actually?
There you go, yes. That's the that's the type of trolley we're dealing with in the trolley problem.
Now, back then, I would expect a runaway trolley more than recently, I guess.
It's a dated... problem, I suppose you could say. There aren't that many trolleys around these days. At least not like they used to be.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other thing, is that a vehicle is just much smaller than a trolley. Mm-hmm. You'd really have to be working to pick off five people at once.
True, but let's say there's even
like
one...
I feel like you'd have to, like, swerve into people to take five of them out at once.
Yes. But let's say that it could be a busy intersection, I mean, there could be, I could see it at the right time or wrong time.
yeah, it'd definitely end up being the wrong time.
But I could also see a situation where, say, there's a concrete barrier and the car is out of control and could either, it's not enough time to brake, or, something happens where the car can't brake in time. It could either swerve into the barrier and maybe injure / kill the passenger.
Right.
Or, hit into a person, and probably the passenger's going to be fine, but the person could probably, who was just trying to cross the street, could be...
dead.
Dead, yes.
Yeah. It definitely is a situation... it's a possibility of a situation, and...
And if you enjoy thinking about those kinds of problems, there's a simulation that you can go through, and... It brings up several strange, unexpected scenarios, I guess I'd say.
I did not use the simulator.
Oh, you didn't go through the actual quiz?
Oh, no, I did not go through the actual quiz, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
I read the article. I didn't realize there was a quiz. Why am I supposed to be... I don't want to take... That's why I'm not in school anymore. No more quizzes, Ken.
Well, I don't know. Quiz is maybe a little... putting it a little too strongly. It's more like a...
Oh, was I supposed to... Because it was hit vegans or hit meat eaters was basically the situation. Is that the two different groups? Because they mentioned that they're... Because that was the other thing I found a little ridiculous about the whole thing. They're like, okay, there are 5 pregnant women walking in one area and 5 single people walking in the other area.
Right.
Which would you feel worse about hitting? And I'm like, really? 5 of the same exact type of people are going to be walking in the same spot, and 5 of the other same people are going to be walking in the same spot?
Yeah. No, I called bullshit on a couple of these as well. Like, there was...
There are not going to be 5 pregnant ladies walking across any given street at one time.
No.
Ever.
Well, you know, I also had a problem with there being... robbers with money bags crossing the street at times.
There were robbers in the one. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Again, there are not going to be 5 people robbing the bank in the same block that they're all heisting.
So you get a score at the end of this simulation to see who it was, what type of person that you most killed. Do you remember what you got for that one?
Oh, remember, I didn't know that there was a quiz. Oh. Like, I'm not joking that I didn't realize that there wasn't a quiz.
Well,
like,
you kept talking about like things from the quiz, so I'm like,
oh,
you must have...
I've just read the article. I didn't see any questions.
I see. Well, you're throwing me off now. It's, I mean, well, the other thing is that you could swerve and hit people who were crossing the street outside of the, like when there was a don't walk sign, flashing versus when there was a, you know, they were allowed to cross, quote unquote. So you could, you know, go after the people who are not breaking or, you know, breaking the law, quote unquote. But in every one,
I forgot. There are 5 people dying of cancer or something like that, and you'd be doing them a favor if they died. Like, I guess I shouldn't say it's clearly something that you could tell, but it's not like there are going to be 5 people walking with IV bags who look like they need to be put out of their misery.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking if a car is able to discern all of this information about a person or a group of people in the amount of time that it takes to make a split-second decision, that they probably should take some of that effort and put it into, like, making the car drive safer in the first place. Because it's gotten a little too far there, I think. Like, you should not be able to do that quickly. For this to even be a hypothetical situation.
Right.
If so, invest more in the brakes.
Because... Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, I did not click on the Moral Machine app there.
Mm. I see. Well, you missed out on the... I should have maybe called that out more. But... yeah, I think that is the...
But yeah, I mean, they give you basically three scenarios... Because it's either hit the one group of people, hit the other group of people, or run yourself into the barrier.
Yeah. Well, yeah, run yourself into the barrier was a question for, or an option for some of them, but maybe not for other ones. I'll start judging. And I think a little bit this is, it almost seems to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Like, I don't think you can take this too seriously. Because, like I said, some of the scenarios are just a little bit ridiculous to me. But are you thinking this one through? So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. Like, should you?
It automatically picks death too.
Well,
like,
yeah.
You still, like, if you run yourself into a barrier,
you're not 100%
you're really a runaway car at that point. Like, there is no breakage. You were doing, like, 50. You're coming down a hill. Something's going wrong. But, yeah, I'm going to be selfless in that one.
And then it asks you if you would...
Oh, kill the pets or or kill the humans.
Yeah, these are some... I mean, I think some of, they start out maybe easier and then kind of get a little more difficult as you go on. But, you know, there's some where it's just like there is no good answer. And, you know, what should...
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to kill the pets. Why? I don't want to kill my own pets. Like, why would I want to run over the pets?
Well...
The humans can get out of the way a little bit easier. That's the other thing. They're definitely not going with the point system as I always went with when I was talking about hitting people. Like, the elderly count as less points.
How often were you talking about hitting people?
Somewhat frequently.
Oh, man. All right. I'm going to make a mental note to avoid walking the streets when you're out there driving.
Note that I am not one of those people that have killed somebody in a pedestrian vehicle incident.
Sure,
Nor have I even touched anybody.
Sure, sure.
In a vehicle-on-vehicle incident, yes, I have.
But, yeah, it's a... I don't know. Some of these questions are a little bit goofy, I guess, is what I would say. I think those are doctors. Like, are you going to hit the...
Oh, or is it you're going to hit the men or you're going to hit the women?
No, look, some people have the right to cross and some people don't there. So this is, like, one of the ones I was talking about. Do you punish the rule breakers or the...
Oh, these people are walking when they shouldn't on the left?
Right, yeah.
Oh, 'cause you can actually show a description, I suppose.
And it's, like, there's weird value judgments, like, based on, like, how big the people are, too. Like, you know, this one is described as the death... This incident would cause the deaths of a large woman and a doctor. So it's, like, a little bit weird to me, like, some of the things that they're bringing in as, like, seemingly factors to consider and whether you're going to, like, hit a person or not.
Yeah, and I guess these groups are somewhat diversified a little bit. But this is an example of you got people dressed up in business or you got people dressed up to work out. I'm just saying the people that can work out, they should be able to dodge better.
Yeah, oh, okay, those are athletes.
Yeah, they should be able to get out of there. Like,
but it says
you should be honking your horn to tell people that you're coming.
Well, I guess
that isn't one of the factors.
I guess they're spelling this out by saying the self-driving car with sudden brake failure will continue ahead and drive through pedestrian crossing. This will result in deaths of a male athlete and two female athletes. So what are these other people classified as? Just out of curiosity here. Oh, a man and two women. Those are just regular. Those are just normies.
Normies.
But...
depends upon who's better looking. Did they say who's better looking? No. The two women could be.
I think they imply that the athletes are probably better looking. I don't know.
They could be a little hit in the face. I'm just saying.
Kevin. Yes, I suppose. But,
you know, could be a butterface.
There's nothing that would prevent a normie person from not looking hit in the face, as you put it. So, all things being equal, I think you're supposed to maybe think that the athletic people are better looking. I mean, I don't know. It's just a strange...
They're not flouting the law, though.
No, see, everyone is in the clear on that one. So, it's not like... Some of them are different...
There's
different factors to consider.
Less people, and they shouldn't be crossing...
Those people are dead.
Yep, cool. they're dead. They're done.
Now you've got a couple cats, a couple dogs versus what looks like an extended family, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you have to swerve to hit the people. Man.
Yeah.
I was worried about you there for a second.
I was going to do it just to see what the response is coming out the end. Just like never hit the kid, never like, hit the animals.
We have informed the local authorities. There's something wrong with you. Yeah, I mean, part of me does feel like the driver or the passengers and drivers in the car should maybe take more of the risk than the other passerbys that just happen to be there.
Oh.
Just because you are the one who is driving the car and kind of creating the dangerous situation in the first place, I guess. If that makes sense.
Oh, right. Yeah, you should kind of bear the brunt of things.
At least in a fair world.
Yep, they're getting picked off. They weren't supposed to be there.
Oh, man. Some Judge Dredd action going on here.
Fuck them. I gotta at least throw one in there. No.
Man, you're on a murder spree. You really ended up there.
Most killed character, dog. Most saved character, the little people.
A little child play
again.
Protecting passengers does not matter to you as much as others. And protecting you matters a lot, it looks like. Upholding the law matters a lot to you. Avoiding intervention, I guess you're into, it looks like. And you're more into dudes. Well, there you go.
Who mans?
You're in favor of humans, but more than other people, even. That's surprising.
Oh, I like fit people way more than other people do.
Oh, geez. I see how you're going there. And social values. You prefer the higher social value of people. So you're for the one percenters.
Yeah, I think I may have missed a couple of those things on that. As far as I didn't maybe decide well. Yeah, I guess I just gathered it from this one. That would have been more fun to... Well, actually, it was more fun to run through it on the show. Fuck that.
Yeah, hopefully everyone out there is playing along on their own. Or if not, you still have your chance to.
Yeah. You don't need to play along. You can go and maybe have the authorities called on you for choosing all of the wrong ways to kill people.
Yeah. You're killing people wrong. We're going to have to take you in.
They're okay with me because at least I was being lawful in the situations.
That's true.
I was hitting the lawbreakers a lot.
You did punish the guilty. They might, they might actually be okay with that. Who knows? It was...
Breaking the law.
It is a strange situation to put yourself in, though. And I can't really imagine a car company being like... touting this kind of feature, like to say, like, our algorithms are weighted to protect the life of the passenger.
You'll
be safer driving our car.
And that was the other thing, well, at least with a lot of those, is that a lot of them, it was the equal, like, I'm not sure how you could save more lives, because there really weren't too many situations that they presented where you saved more lives than you killed. Like, most of the time it's like, do you protect three passengers or three people walking?
And a lot of them...
Even if it was left or right,
yes,
you know?
It was not like total number of people, it was like types of people, which I think was weird.
Yeah, because they didn't really give you, like, okay, if I run into the barrier, I'm only going to kill three people, but if I run through the intersection, I'll kill five. That would, to me, is a scenario that they should have in there.
Yeah, it's like they were going for more, I don't know, like value-based judgments based on, you know, if someone's an athlete or not, or a doctor or a criminal, which it seems to me like the more useless... real world application, because like I said, how are you supposed to be able to make these judgments in a split second about, like, you know, what kind of person this guy is. Is he on the nice or naughty list?
Yeah, you're pretty much pooping bricks when you lose control of the car, too.
Although, keep in mind, the car would presumably be able to make these decisions in this scenario.
Oh, yeah, because you would not be making them.
Yes.
But I'll admit, like, when I've hit, there have been a couple of times where I've hit very large patches of ice. And there is not...
I thought you were going to say you've hit very large people, but go on. Just as going back to our...
I probably have.
Trolley problem, yeah. So, but, you hit large patches of ice.
Oh, and you lose control of the car. Like, you're not always thinking clearly in these situations what you're going to try to do.
Well, sure.
And your brakes don't work a lot when you're sliding on ice.
I guess the weird thing about this concept is that it's like you don't have time in the moment normally to make these decisions.
Oh.
But if now, like, you can sit down and, like, you know, if you're an engineer at Google self-driving cars division, and someday you might have to sit down and, like, decide what the car's going to do in a situation like this that you normally would only have a split second to decide, but you actually now can kind of, like, write that down and actually make that decision in a way.
Right. Yeah. And I guess that was the point that I was making, too. Like, you're more in a snap judgment mode.
Right.
In that situation. Because, I mean, I do think that you snap out of being worried about it. But, you still would make a decision, I guess. But it's not going to be like, yeah, sitting down. Like, you have time to think about it. And even get descriptions of what you're hitting. If you so choose to.
Right. And I don't think that would ever actually be a practical thing that would happen, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So I call into question some of their... What are they trying to get at here?
Well, and they only give you two scenarios in each situation. Like, you can save yourself in some, or you can harm the people in the vehicle in some situations, but in other situations, they don't allow that. Like, turning into a building is not an option.
Right. You would think that would be an option under all circumstances.
Yeah. Hit a telephone pole.
Drive into a ditch.
Yeah. It's not in an environment that allows you to come up with some alternative plan.
Yes. It's a Matrix-like reality where there is no side turns can be taken. You have to just keep on the rail of the simulation that's been laid out in front of you. I guess it's not that realistic is what we're saying.
Yeah. I think that's why a lot of philosophy classes just... to me, were these kind of thought exercises that kind of drove me bananas. And this kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, some of them do take you somewhere interesting, I think. But this one is just like, there's not really, I mean, a good answer, I guess.
Like, no.
Especially when you get down to, like, making judgments about
who one person's worth. Dies.
Well, just based on, like, is this a better person than this person? Like... How can you make that kind of decision? Like, that's, I don't know. That doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, maybe they're a shitty doctor, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
They're like, you could save other people's lives that they're not going to screw up by, killing them when they're operating on them or something. So, you never know, I guess.
That's, no, you do not, Ken.
That's why I'm not going to be making those kind of decisions, my friend.
Yep, and you never know what those Amish are going to do, Ken. Because we did promise this to be an Opah show.
That's right.
We have spent the majority of it in Paw.
Well, we got to throw a little O in there, I guess. Got to do our yep. So. There was a recent... This really doesn't... I'm really struggling here to come up with a segue, but... self-driving cars and the Amish are pretty opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, that's a good way to go with it. We go from horse and buggy that you have to have control. You are definitely not having a trolley problem if your motor is a horse.
Although, I mean,
unless they just start to stampede people.
That's right. I mean, it could go out of control. Like, the reins could fall down and you wouldn't be able to reach them. I think I've seen movies like that, at least. However likely that is to actually happen. But, you know, those, I think horses were the original self-driving cars, Kevin, because they sometimes had minds of their own.
Oh, my God.
I think we may have found the segue here.
Oh, man. If at first you do not succeed, try again.
Yes.
That is the mantra here at OPA.
Oh, I mean, I can't believe I felt like that was such a hopeless segue, but then there was light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, man.
Do we even have to do the topic now? That was just such a perfect... anything else is going to be anticlimactic, but the problem that we're running into with our Amish community in this story, at least, is that
evidently they're throwing giant ragers,
big keggers, in the middle of a field. Now, you would think that that would not be like something that Amish people would be into, right? I guess that's kind of the. It does seem like the Amish children get a little crazy.
Yeah,
they let their freak flag fly on occasion.
I think that just with the advent of technologies like a self-driving car, or even
are you talking about horses?
The horses, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to check.
Or smartphones. It's getting hard to shelter yourself from.
Even if you're Amish.
Even if you're Amish. I think it's a little, because I mean, a lot of them still come into town to get some sort of supplies.
Or sell goods. And,
or sell goods.
Buy other goods, yes. Services,
yeah.
Et cetera.
So it's just got to be getting tougher. And I mean, there are just more people around in general, so they're going to be encroaching on the territory a little bit more. Because it's not like they live in like remote, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say Indian villages.
Indian villages?
American Indian?
Well, I mean, they're not American
Native American.
They came from Germany, as far as I can tell. Or Switzerland, maybe. The Amish.
Oh.
They're not Native American.
Oh, no. I was trying to make a correlation between, like, I always feel like Indian reservations... are not near like a major city or something like that. But I feel like the Amish tend to, you know, live somewhere close to a place of commerce.
Yeah.
You know, relatively close so that they can
do that kind of thing. And the other thing is, I think, like you said, if there's one Amish kid who gets like a smartphone and like shows it to their friends, I mean, that's going to be... game over, you would think, right?
Game over, man! Game over!
I mean, that stuff's going to spread like crazy. And it's the kind of thing where, like, maybe in ages past, if you wanted to get on the internet, you would have to hide, like, a desktop computer in your room somehow.
yeah, and it's just...
that's going to be more difficult than to be able to just kind of have a little smartphone under your pillow. Which, I guess you would have to figure out how to charge it, but, you know.
That would be a little tricky.
Kids can probably figure out some way around it.
One would imagine. But, yeah, I guess they're just throwing these giant keggers, which honestly is reminiscent of a past that that we may have lived.
Yeah, we probably threw a kegger or three that I can remember.
The story was more funny just because of the persons involved, honestly, than the situation itself, because whatever, I do believe there's the infamous story of finishing one keg, getting a new one, and then finishing that all in one party.
Oh yeah. That, I remember that happening. That was probably ill-advised looking back on things.
I would say that that's ill-advised. And if the police had come and, you know, said something, I would not have been terribly surprised, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people over for that party, if I remember.
Yeah, and some of them may or may not have been underage.
Mm. Yes, yeah, so statute of limitations is up on this one, right?
Yeah, I would think that like 20 years late, 20 years past, the statute of limitations is up for underage alcohol consumption.
Yes, and everybody walked away okay after that party.
Yeah, there might have been some puke and hair, but outside of that...
Yes.
Everyone made it out alive.
So,
But, yeah, it, like I said, it's the funny story just because of, the persons involved, not necessarily the story itself.
So just to kind of put a bow on this, Kevin, if you were suddenly, the brakes went out in your car, you could either, drive and hit a little kid crossing the road, crash into a barrier, or swerve off the road and drive through a field of Amish partiers. Which choice do you think you would take there?
Gotta go with the lower number. Gotta take the kid out.
All right. Well, he's probably asking for it. I mean, I don't know why you'd be crossing the road in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Next to a field of Amish partiers.
Amish partiers.
That's probably the right call. There's something up with that kid.
Well, hopefully the people at the Amish party made the right call with their Bell Time Beer of the Week, Ken.
Ding, ding.
And this week it is a seasonal release, and with the fact that I actually could have attended a Columbus Blue Jackets hockey game tonight, that I skip because it's a preseason game and I don't care.
Well, that ties into our beer tonight.
But yeah, it does tie into the beer. It's from Land Grant Brew Company, Goon, which is a strong pale ale.
Now that's a hockey term, right, Kevin?
Yes, it is the gentleman who used to fight. He did not have too many other skills other than the pugilistic variety.
Do they still have goons in hockey today?
They have, for the most part, have been phased out. There are still some left in the league. They are generally better skaters now than they used to be. I would say that the classic goon has moved out, and it's almost more of a tough guy. Kind of a situation more than a goon, technically.
Someone just who has a chip on their shoulder a little bit, maybe, or is going to kind of
be
an enforcer in a way, stand up to other players.
Yeah, they know that they're going to fight every now and again now, but the rate of fighting has, you know, dropped somewhat. But you still need somebody who's going to kind of make a statement and
take care of business if necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Those types of guys are still around. So, I mean, it's definitely there. But this is a strong pale ale. Goon is.
Did we mention it's a Land Grant Brewing Company?
Yes.
Here in Columbus?
Yep.
So, just to make it doubly local here, we got a local brew. And I got to say, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it is quite hoppy.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised that... my dear wife was here earlier. She tried some and seemed to like it, but it's not technically an IPA, but being a strong pale ale, it's on the hoppy side.
Yeah, it's leaning that way.
Yeah.
Because do they have an IBU on that?
Let me get to you here. Well, 6.1% alcohol, and I do not see an IBU listed.
Oh, well. How about them cookies? It's a pale ale and you don't list the IBUs. That's just a little strange to me.
Sad.
Yep. But, yeah, it was still pretty tasty. Like, it had a nice... The strong pale ales probably aren't my favorite. Because I still like the hops when it's more towards a pale ale. Straight up territory. But it's still pretty tasty. I like a lot of Land Grant's beers. So, thumbs up at least.
Cool. Well, that brings us to the end of another show, I think, Kevin.
Yeah, this is at DeFrango 11. That is at Gozer 33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Everybody have a good night.
See ya.